Now, the rest of the story. I guess plenty of unlikely boys wind up at military academies, but Hiram was probably the unlikeliest of them all. The sight of blood nauseated him, for one thing. Even hunting horrified him. Only twice in his life he had to kill a wild animal, and he had to regret both instances until the day he died. Now, military school was his father's idea. Hiram went reluctantly. He couldn't picture himself sticking it out. A military life has no charms for me, he later said. I had not the faintest idea of staying in the Army, even if I should be graduated, which I did not expect. Wearisome, uninteresting, he called it. One year around Christmas time, there was talk of closing the school. Hiram was elated, but the talk was only talk, so Hiram stayed on. He looked anything but a soldier. 5'1", 117 pounds. Fair, freckled skin, hands and feet too small for his already slight physique. Delicate, a classmate called him. Too small to excel at any sport. Academics, that was a different matter. A particular whiz at mathematics, Hiram ranked 10th in a class of 53 in his second year. Yet Hiram would rather have been academically outstanding almost anywhere but where he was. Officer types he found offensive. Extreme reverence for the military he found perplexing. But there was something Hiram discovered in military school that he had not expected, yet which made his captivity captivating. And that brings us to the rest of the story. A sensitive and talented professor there brought out a special gift in Hiram for art. Art. The teacher's name was Robert Walter Weir. He had already recognized as an artist James McNeil Whistler. Then one day into his studio walked Hiram. At least one course in art was required at the academy. Hiram took the subject immediately. More than technically skilled, the young man demonstrated stylistic grace, conceptual curiosity. His Italian landscapes, his crowded marketplaces were breathtaking, considering the fact that he'd never even seen them. The horses in his paintings were especially impressive, conveying what one author described as the heft of a real animal. I have before me right now a copy of a painting, an Indian and his nursing squaw, a painting which hangs today in a military school that Hiram once found so disagreeable. It's a painting he created while still attending West Point. Perhaps for his own peace of mind, he should have stuck to his art. For after graduating from military school, he found himself just another young soldier stationed at a lonely outpost. He responded to the sting of homesickness and personal anomaly by crawling into a bottle, which led to his forced resignation from the Army altogether. He was just not cut out for it, you see. Ought to have been an artist. So he turned into a drunk. And then toward the end of his life, he confided that his happiest day was the day he left West Point. It was really... Everything that happened between West Point and the end of his life was kind of a fluke. It was the so-called Civil War. And that's what returned him to the life that he never wanted. Since your own school days, you've had a classroom wall picture in your mind of a gruff, bearded, cigar-chomping, hard-drinking general and president named Hiram Ulysses Simpson Grant. The picture belies the man he was. Except for the drinking, of course. But now you know how that started. Because now you know the rest of the story.